everyone. Welcome back to the Unapologetic Show. This is the podcast where your host, me, talks to you about how to live your most unapologetic and authentic life. Today, we're going to talk about how to romanticize your life. But before that, I did want to chat really quickly about things that are happening in the world right now that I just think are really interesting. So I have lately been listening to Taylor Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Department. I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this podcast probably have also been listening to that, or have at least heard of it if you're not actually listening to it. And this album is so good, you guys. I've had it on repeat so much, and I'm sure my neighbors are probably sick of me because I will play it on like my TV on Spotify, and I will blast it and have the windows open. But it is so good. I feel like I don't want to like, cause I'm not like a huge person to say like, oh, this XYZ's like best album, but I definitely think this is probably one of her more poetic albums. Obviously, like if you're a Taylor Swift fan, you know that like Folklore and Evermore were also very, really great listens just because of the nature of the lyricism. But this album just takes it to another level. And it's actually inspired me a lot to get into my own writing. So we'll see what that turns out to look like. If you don't know, I write poetry. So I sometimes will share it on my Instagram. I actually kind of want to start doing that a little bit more frequently because it's really important to me. And I think that it has been a really good outlet in terms of like me becoming more comfortable with my own voice and my own sense of self as a recovering people pleaser. And I think that, you know, writing and being able to understand and own your truth is so, so, so valuable. And I think that's what I really love about TTPD. Like it just is such a raw album. Like, you know, what was really funny to me is like when I went into listening to it, and I don't really like to be the person to say, oh, like XYZ song is about like this ex that Taylor dated or whatever. Like, I think that's because at the end of the day, all of the songs are about her. But what I do think is really interesting is the fact that, you know, she did kind of lean into, songs that seemed to be about like Maddie Healy, which I think that's just so interesting because it is so raw. Like it wasn't something I was expecting. I think a lot of people weren't expecting that, and I think that that was just like such a bold move to like really just talk about her feelings in depth like that, and just to be so honest about like what she was feeling in the moment when she wrote those songs. And that's definitely something that I think we all could learn from. Whether you're a Taylor Swift fan or not, I think that there's merit in being able to lean into the feelings that you have and being able to really articulate that and express that in some form or fashion, whether that's writing, whether that is, you know, in the form of painting or art, or like I'm always a big fan of like having a creative outlet. Speaking of creative outlets, I have lately been watching the show Baby Reindeer. Has anybody seen that? That show was wild. I'm still pretty early on the series, so I feel like it's going to get even crazier. But I started to watch it, and it, like, made me question every single, like, parasocial relationship I've ever had. Like, it just made me so uncomfortable. Like, you know, anybody who is part of any fandoms, I feel like it really just kind of, it kind of gives you a different light into some people who take fandoms to another level. But it's a very interesting show, and I'm interested to see how the show progresses. So I'll keep you guys posted about that. I know I'm pretty late to the game. I do that sometimes. I was the same way with Saltburn. Like I watched it maybe like months after it actually came out. And, yeah, I don't know. It was, sometimes I have to like see the hype online before I actually like get into it. Speaking of which, like Challengers, I know just came out this weekend. It actually came out on Friday, I think. And that is one that I've been itching to watch, mostly because I love Zendaya. Like, she is a wonderful, wonderful actress. I think she's very talented. And it's always exciting to see, like, young Black talent, like, rising up through the ranks. But yeah, I'm very curious about this movie. You know, like, I feel like what I've heard is that the score is really good and that the like cinematography is really good. So we'll see. I'm very curious about it. But yeah, so on the note of, you know, romanticizing your life, that was really when I wanted to chat with everybody about today. You know, like, I think that it has the phrase romanticizing your life, it sounds like very superficial. But what I've been really trying to lean into is the fact that it is not a very superficial practice. It's more of a mindful practice, like a mindset shift, you know, about finding magic in the everyday of your life, and just kind of cultivating a sense of gratitude, and being very intentional in how you're living versus just passively existing. And the reason why I think this is so important is because it does help you to turn your care and attention inward to your own self and your experiences. And it also just kind of helps you to find things that bring you joy. Like, I think that there's so much devastating that's happening in the world. And I could make a giant list of it, but I think it's so important for us to be able to see the little beauty in front of us, wherever we can, and get that joy wherever we can, because unfortunately there is so much just negativity that happens and life can be so messy sometimes. I know for a fact for myself, like, you know, my own life has been a mess, and it's funny because, like, when I learned how to romanticize my life, I was able to find pockets of joy in a way that, like, just gave me a little bit of fulfillment even amidst, like, some of the worst things that were happening to me. And I know I think this is also really important to talk about, because there have been, like, countless trends on TikTok, I think, about, like, romanticizing your life. And while I think that's great, I think a lot of the TikTok trends kind of revolve more around the aesthetic of romanticizing your life, which is still very good. But I do think that it goes a little bit deeper than that. And there are ways to mindfully, like, indulge that, you know, don't cost anything. They don't take a lot of time, and they are very, like, simple things to add into your life that are super important. So I wanted to get into that today. I guess some things that I've been doing personally lately, to really find out how to indulge in the joy that is in my life is, you know, like, I've always been a big fan of, like, going to bookstores and reading and just, and it's really funny because I think in my adult life, I haven't been reading quite as much as I used to, which is a shame. Like, I think that anybody who's in corporate America, you probably feel the same way. Like, you sometimes just get so bogged down in what you're doing on a day-to-day basis with work. And then when you come home, you just kind of want to shut your brain off. Like, I do that a lot where I come home from work and I just want to, like, watch, like, trashy TV, or not even trashy TV, because I watch a lot of, like, shows that I actually like Baby Reindeer. But, like, I feel like a lot of times you do kind of have this, we gravitate toward not wanting to do things, you know, after having, like, a long day. And so obviously, like, I love reading and I'm trying to do that a little bit more. That's just, like, a personal goal of mine. But I think other ways you can infuse this romanticism in your life in a way that is meaningful, like, where you're still getting some really good knowledge, is, you know, coming home and maybe lighting a candle and just mindfully, like, eating, or mindfully, like, sipping on a glass of wine at the end of the night. I think that is so lovely, and that's a good way to romanticize And, you know, I think that, again, it just kind of comes down to like being mindful. So just savoring, I kind of break it up into four different components, like four different aspects of like romanticizing your life: mindful moments, having like small rituals, celebrating the progress in your life, and of course, like dating yourself, which you've heard me talk about a lot of times. So I'm going to go ahead and break those down. So mindful moments for me, that looks like I said, you know, coming home from the end of a work day and slowly sipping and savoring a glass of wine or a mocktail or, you know, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe like taking a walk in the middle of the day and just really indulging and feeling like your senses. If you're into like any sort of like mindful meditation practices, you might've heard of like the five senses exercise to do. And that's something I like to do when I go on walks. So for those of you who don't know what the five senses exercise is, it looks like, when you're out and about, or just even when you're feeling overwhelmed, you can even do this like in your home. I like to do it on walks just because I feel like it tends to engage my senses a little bit more. Looking around and seeing five things you can see, and being able to like think of like the color, think about like the texture, think about like what the actual object is that you're seeing. Naming four things that you can hear. So are you walking around the city? Like, do you hear car horns? Do you hear like the wind rustling by? Do you hear critters, like, you know, chipmunks or squirrels, like rustling around? Things like that, you know what I mean? Three things that you can, I always forget this. I think it's three things you can smell, if I'm not mistaken. Three things you can touch. Three things you can touch. So whether that is like, you know, the clothing on your skin, or like the grass under your feet, or even just like feeling like skin on skin, like your fingertips like brushing against like your arm or something like that. That's a good way to engage with that. And then two things you can smell. So that is always my hardest one, because I feel like, it's so funny. I was actually talking to one of my friends about this recently, about how like I feel like I sometimes just don't smell. Like, I don't pick up on like very nuanced smells. So she was talking about how like she'll notice like little faint traces of things in the air, and I am the worst about picking that up. So it could just be like, for me, whenever I do that, since I always think about like, what is the sensation of the air coming in and out of my nose? Like, is it cool going in my nose and it's like hot coming out of my nose? I try to think about like, what, like, does the air smell kind of crisp, you know, like it, like on a crisp autumn day, kind of smell that. I try to think of it like that, just because I am, again, the worst at like actually picking up on nuanced smells. But if you're better at that than I am, then good for you. And then the last sense is, thinking about like senses, like, the taste. So for instance, like right now I just drink a cup of coffee, and I can taste still the creamer in my mouth a little bit, like that taste, and thinking throughout that, and all of those kind of come together to help you be a little bit more mindful in your day to day. And like I said, I like to do that on walks. So one thing I've noticed about me particularly is like when I am feeling really overwhelmed, or when I really do need to romanticize my life, I love to spend time in nature. So like yesterday, for instance, I was in a funk and I was just not really sure what to do with myself. I had like a bout of like ADHD paralysis and anxiety. My neurodivergent girlies, I know you guys understand exactly where I'm coming from with this, but I was just feeling all kinds of things. And I needed to find a way to like ground myself and center myself and make myself feel a little bit better. And so I actually drove out to, and it was a really lovely day outside. So like so I live up in Indianapolis, if you don't know. I ended up going to the what is it called? There's a trail, and I'm sure people in Indy will be like, it's this trail, don't you know? I do know, I just can't remember right now. But there is a trail in Indianapolis that I like to like, that a lot of people like to like hang out on. So like I went and I just did like a little bit of a walk, and I kind of, engaged in this like mindfulness practice. And it was so lovely, by the way, you guys, like, I feel like that's something I would encourage anybody to do, is just, if you're really just feeling stressed or overwhelmed, it is so powerful to just spend time like in nature, wherever you can. It was so lovely because I spent some time like sitting by the water. It's like this little like reservoir waterway. I don't know if I want to call it a river. Maybe it is a river, but I don't know exactly what it is. And I just like sat down. And you know what's even crazier? Like I like was sitting down on this bench, like in this like little nature-y area. And I just like even took this, people are going to be like, this is so gross, but I like even took off my shoes and I just like felt the dirt like on my toes. And it was just the best thing. Like you guys, like it was just so, it just awakened my sensations in a way that I think I needed. And I know people are probably like, oh, that's so gross, why would you do that? I strongly recommend it. Don't knock it until you try it. but yeah, I think that there's something so beautiful about like being able to really indulge yourself in these kind of mindful moments and really just savoring, you know, the senses. So like really listening to like your favorite music or feeling the sun on your skin. Tasting your coffee, tasting your wine. Like, I think that is just so important. My second practical tip for you all is small rituals, and kind of along the same line of mindful moments. It's just a way to, elevate your experiences. So small rituals for me look like, you know, doing something special and luxurious for yourself. That could look like taking a bath, like taking a bubble bath, or taking photos of just like beautiful things that you see on your commute. For me, a lot of times that looks like lighting incense. Like I love lighting incense when I'm about to go to sleep. It just helps me like relax. It just kind of like signals to my brain that it is the end of the day. It is time for me to like really just vibe. Another thing, I recently, like a few weeks ago, I bought myself a vinyl player. I finally caved, and bought a vinyl. I only have 2 vinyl records right now. So if there's anything that you would recommend for me to get as a vinyl record, please send it my way. I'm trying to be very intentional about the vinyls I buy because obviously we have streaming. But I do want to like have vinyls just for like day-to-day things. But I love like this, what I've started to love is like listening to like a vinyl while I'm like starting my morning routine. So like the other day for me, like it was just getting up and like playing the vinyl, like a very soft like indie folk rock. I've been listening to Mitch Rowland's new album Come June. So I played that vinyl, and I just like did some like light yoga. And it was very like intuitive yoga. It wasn't like yoga that was like trying to like get myself shredded or anything like that. It was very like easy yoga, very easy like movements, things that were just like relaxing and that felt good. And small rituals like that, I think, are just so beneficial for, you know, making everyday moments very special. Maybe it's like making yourself a cup of tea, before like you settled in for the night. I think just those kind of like little rituals, just really lighting candles is another thing, I like to do. Those little things just really help to elevate, you know, those experiences a little bit. The third tip that I have is celebrating progress, because of course you can't do anything without like actually being able to look back and see the progress that has happened. So noticing the improvements in your boundaries, you know, moments where you've advocated for yourself, And I think those, it sounds like trivial, but I think that's another way to like romanticize your life, really, and just see how much you've grown as a person. I know for myself, you know, going to therapy and getting the validation from my therapist that I have, you know, improved in some ways, I think that is just so important to me. And it just makes me feel so good. It just reminds me that there is like, it just brings me joy to see how far I've come, especially when I think about that in terms of like where I was before. So ways that you can celebrate your progress can look like, you know, building gratitude lists or journaling. Like I said, I've been writing a lot, like specifically I write a lot of poetry. And recently I was going through some of the poetry I wrote in like 2021 and 2022. And it's so fascinating to see how different I am, even though that was only a couple of years ago. It's so interesting to see how different I am from that point in my life. And I think by being able to really honor that and feel that sense of progress, it is just a really beautiful way to like romanticize how you have grown. And then the last bit I would say in terms of romanticizing your life, and you all have heard me talk about this so many times, and I will say it 1,000 more times, date yourself. I was with a friend recently and he called it master dating, which I thought was really goofy and silly. Yeah, I think that like dating yourself is like, God, I will like probably until my dying breath, I will say that everybody should try to date themselves. Like, I think that it is so valuable and so important to be able to like enjoy your own company. Like, there is something so romantic about that, I think. And you know, like, I'm sure there are curmudgeons out there who probably don't really see the benefits of it, but I strongly urge you to, because I think that by being able to spend time with yourself, you learn yourself so much better and you learn what you will and won't accept from other people around you. So what that looks like, you know, in terms of dating yourself, is like, you know, going on solo movie dates, buying yourself flowers, having a picnic in the park. I think we're always like under this impression that we need to have other people around to enjoy things. And we really don't. Like, we have like ourselves, and I think there's something so beautiful about it. And kind of like what I say all the time, you know, I think that a lot of the hesitation with doing things by yourself comes from like a sense of worrying about what other people think about you. What I've kind of reminded myself, you know, like I especially when I first moved to Indy or when I first moved to Chicago, I would take myself like out to dinner or out to like get like brunch by myself. Like, I love brunch. That's one of my favorite things. If you know me, you know, I love like a good stack of pancakes. And I like would take myself out by myself and just go and get pancakes. And, you know, when I first started to do it the first time, like especially in my early 20s, I always felt like, oh, this is so weird. Everybody's judging me. And I think what kind of helped me to get over that sense of everybody's judging me is remembering that nobody actually cares. And I think I said this a few episodes ago, actually. But yeah, like, you know, it's something that like people think that everybody cares about like what you're doing. And the reality is nobody does. And it sounds a little devastating in a way, but like it's actually a very freeing and liberating thing to remember, because at the end of the day, truly nobody cares like what anybody else is doing. People are worried about their own selves. They're worried about their own lives. Nobody is looking at you thinking like, wow, that person is so lonely. And if they are, honestly, that sounds like a them problem, not a you problem. So I don't know. That's just how I didn't look at that. I am like the worst about that. Like, you know, if I'm worried about like what somebody is thinking about me, my go-to thought is like, that's a them problem, not a me problem. maybe that's going to get me in trouble one day, but I think that that's like a very valid and really big, like, important thing to keep in mind, because truly, like, I feel like people get so caught up in like what other people are doing with their lives, and especially if it's something that isn't hurting anybody, and it's like, okay, why do you care? You know, it kind of is like a projection of their own insecurity to me. So anyway, like I said, I'll say this 1,000 times more, but date yourself, date yourself, date yourself. I think that is so important. I feel like, especially as a recovering people pleaser, that is like one of the most important things you can do to be able to get past a lot of hesitation and how people perceive you, is just dating yourself and really understanding like who you are and what you think about you. That is all that I had for today in terms of romanticizing your life. I really hope that you're able to take at least one of these tricks and try it, you know, over the next like week or so. I think that it's so important to be able to look inward and find that joy. Tinks always, Tinks is like the podcaster / influencer who I really love listening to, but she like always talks about how it's important to find joy, not happiness. And I love that, because the way she's shifting the focus is on, you know, being able to find moments of joy, pockets of joy, because if you're trying to find happiness, like long-term happiness, it is, you're going to be chasing forever, because I mean, that's not life, right? Like in life, we have series and seasons of highs and lows, and that's just the reality of it. But finding joy is something that is more fulfilling, and it is something that is more practical, because you're able to find those pockets of joy even in some of the lows of your life. And I think that that is just such a wonderful thing to keep in mind, especially as you do start to learn to romanticize your life. So I'm challenging each and every one of you to try at least one of these things, or do something similar. Maybe if there are other ways that you like to romanticize your life that I didn't talk about, I would love to hear about them. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to me today. I really appreciate everything that you guys have helped me with, and just the community at large. So I really hope that this helps somebody. And yeah, thank you so much for your time. Hope you have a great rest of your week. Bye.